One last speaker before our general discussion. Johannes Lin is the Executive Director of the Wolfensohn Center for Development and Senior Fellow, Global Economy and Development at the Brookings Institution. He's a former Vice President of the World Bank for Europe and Central Asia and also the author of Urban Public Finances in Developing Countries. Please welcome Johannes Lin.
Thanks, Peter. Right. Thanks very much. Is this on? I guess it is. It's great to be here today and very exciting to hear all these experiences from the ground, specific, very real, and I have to admit my contributions a little less real, a little less exciting, but perhaps at this stage also perhaps can make a contribution because I'm going to raise the helicopter a bit and take a broader view of sort of the structure of what's going on the ground. Maybe we can see some big features that if you look at the individual experiences perhaps aren't quite as visible by looking across. Now let me start with a brief story. After I left the World Bank in 2003, having been there for 30 years, I was asked by another international organization to evaluate the country program in a particular country. And as I looked at this, and we went over this with a small team, we realized a key feature of that program was that there were lots of wonderful initiatives that were very innovative, that seemed to be responding to local needs. We couldn't quite determine whether they were successful because there were no individual project evaluations or hardly any. And from my perspective, more importantly, as I realized, is there's virtually no follow-up on any of the initiatives that had been undertaken under the name of pilots, but really no continuation based on lessons learned from these pilots. So we fed back to the organization, look guys, you really ought to take some of these, evaluate them, as we heard earlier, some very good examples of good evaluation. You ought to do this, and then you ought to build on your success stories. Build on it, scale up, replicate. Don't go in and do lots of new things that don't lead anywhere. Well, unfortunately, 5 years later, I just reviewed another country program review for the same country, the same organization. The review pointed to the same problem. Now, I'm not naming the institution because it could be just about any institution. Nobody few here. In fact, many of the examples that we heard are scaled up, or at least the scaling up is part of the experience. But all too often in my experience, including the institution I worked for a long time, and my own personal engagement, very much an example of that, there's too many incentives built into what we do to innovate, to start new things, and too few incentives, too few rewards to actually finish, evaluate, and build on success systematically. So what my talk is about is to sort of take a look, step back, and say, okay, what do we know about scaling up? Lots written about innovation, but what do we know about replication scaling up based on some of the work we've been doing at the Wolfensohn Center? So I want to talk about very briefly about why scaling up matters, what we know about it, a framework for approaching scaling up, lessons learned, some examples of success, some of them very obvious, and I won't spend a lot of time on that. And finally, a couple of words about what we're doing at the Wolfensohn Center about this topic. Now, why does it matter? Well, as I already indicated, in the development business, certainly in the aid business, there is really an abundance of lots of small, one-time, limited-scale interventions. And indeed, if you look at the research and evaluation experience, you find that it's striking that actually a large majority of projects that are being formally evaluated are successful. And, you know, I think we can all honestly believe that that's true. There are some people say, no, it's not honest, it's not independent enough, and they're really not right. But I think that's actually true. But if you then look at the research that tries to estimate the aggregate impact of aid, for example, or development assistance on growth, on poverty, the best that you can come up with is a marginal impact, and many actually said is no impact or perhaps even negative. So where does this disconnect come from? There are lots of factors, but I believe one of the reasons for disconnect is precisely because too many of the things that we do in our business, and it's public, it's the public institutions, but I would also say in terms of the private institutions that work, is that we start too many things, we don't necessarily finish them, we don't learn from them, and we don't scale up and replicate enough. So part of what we're about is to try and get more attention to this issue. And indeed, as I already said, de facto, if you look at what institutions and many institutions are about, it's different in the private business sector, where scaling up is very often, of course, built into an incentive mechanism. But in the public and the non-for-profit sector, the incentives are usually not aligned with replication and with scaling up success. Indeed, I think, at least from my experience in many institutions that I've now worked with, aside from the World Bank and in the World Bank, there's actually disincentives to replicate success stories and to scale up. And indeed, most evaluation practices that we've looked at in official aid institutions don't even ask the question whether or not, if a project was successful, was it then scaled up or replicated? Was that question even asked? It usually isn't. So from our perspective, more needs to be done on this. And so we started the work by basically reviewing what we know so far about scaling up. And so we did a literature review. Going back to history, actually, my own personal history, I started working in the World Bank when McNamara was there. McNamara, of course, a well-known individual, drove to everybody crazy towards scaling up. And I think that was one of his strengths, also one of his weaknesses, perhaps. But he really embodied that sort of scaling up modality. And at that time, actually, the World Bank was very much about scaling up. In between, it got lost. President Wolfensohn, Jim Wolfensohn, actually tried to revive it. Unfortunately, he left before he really made the impact in the institution to turn its focus on this issue. But as we looked around, we actually found that there's a fair number of studies, a fair number of experiences scaling up, but they're all sector-specific, thematic-specific. There really is very little cross sort of cutting. Look at what makes for successful scaling up, what actually makes for scaling up in the first place. And indeed, most of the reviews and examples you see is about successful scaling up. And that's, of course, great. It's great that we focus on success. But I think much also needs to be and could be learned from looking at failures of success. And so we feel, in terms of what's missing, that what is actually has been missing is a thorough cross-cutting review of scaling up literature. We try to make a start at it, and in my literature section at the end, you'll find some references. What is missing is, as I already said, analysis of failure. What's missing is analysis of institutional practices. What actually goes on within institutions, public, NGOs, whatever? What are the incentives, the practices, the policies within institutions? We know very little about that. And indeed, we know very little about the aggregate impact of the, in terms of development effectiveness, of to the extent to which not pursuing scaling up is a problem. So what we did is to basically develop a little framework, and I want to briefly run you through this, looking at, first of all, definition and dimensions of scaling up. Important question, whether to scale up, often not asked, but actually should be asked. The types of approaches, the drivers for scaling up, what drives scaling up, the spaces that are needed to scale up into, and then, of course, implementation evaluation is key with lessons that we draw at the end. I won't run through this framework in great detail because time is limited and it's available online. But it's important, obviously, to have a definition. There are many out there. We have our favorite ones. You can read it here. It means expanding, adapting, and sustaining successful policies, programs, or projects in different places and over time to reach a greater number of people. Now, important to remember there are different dimensions of scaling up. It could be purely quantitative, doing the same thing for more people. It could be functional, taking one successful scheme and taking it to different functional areas. Very importantly, using a political process to actually support the scaling up. And finally, of course, organizational and institutional dimensions. I already mentioned the question of whether and when to scale up. Very important to remember that not everything can and should be or needs to be scaled up. Sometimes small is truly beautiful and should be kept that way. Think of a gourmet restaurant. But before scaling up, you better evaluate and figure out whether what you're actually thinking is a good idea works in practice, and preparation and planning is needed. And sometimes indeed limiting, scaling back, or exit may be the best. Now, we come to the core of the approach and the framework. What are the drivers that actually gets the scaling up process started and sustained? Obviously, you need to have ideas, but you also need to have a vision that takes these ideas to scale, and you need leadership. We found in virtually all examples of successful scaling up, you had a champion that drove the process, which, however, has a built-in weakness, because when the champion leaves, very often without appropriate succession and so on, you actually find the initiative failing at whatever scale it has reached. Sometimes external catalysts can be helpful. Think of donors or the EU or the European Union. Incentives, from my perspective, incentives actually is the most important part of the story. How do you get actors, the individual actors, to act, and the institutions to actually focus not only on innovation or whatever they were doing, but actually on this question of scaling up? And it, of course, incentives means you also need to have accountability. So you need to build accountability mechanisms into your institutional processes, usually through evaluation, series evaluation of what we've done. A final part of the framework is you need to think about creating space so your initiative can actually grow into the greater scale that you're trying to achieve. Financial and fiscal space, financial if it's private, fiscal if it's public, a public initiative. Political space, very often you'll find that actually particular NGOs, but also political initiatives in the initiatives in the public sector actually end up being constrained by political factors. Policy space, many examples you'll find actually limited, initiatives limited because the policy framework is wrong. Institutional and organizational space is perhaps the most obvious. Cultural, we heard earlier on, Fabio mentioned culture in Brazil. Well, you know, if you want to transfer something even within countries from one place to another, you better think about the cultural dimensions. And finally, in just about every case of successful scaling up, partnerships were involved. So you have to invest in creating partnership space. This brings me to seven key lessons that we've drawn and that we're turn now testing in specific initiatives that we're pursuing. But the lessons are you need leadership, vision, and values. Values, just let me remind you, Brock's value, basic value is small is beautiful, big is necessary. So just remember that whatever you do successfully small, think about whether you can do it big. And frankly, that's a value. To me, that's a basic value how we approach our work. You need to build political constituencies. You need to have supportive policies. Institutions have to be willing and able to support the change. Incentives and accountability has to be put in place. A focus on implementation and a stick-with-it attitude. I think in every single case, and there are some very good examples that you've heard, it takes time to scale up, and you need to have institutions and individuals willing to stick with it. And finally, as I already mentioned, effective monitoring evaluation. In terms of examples, I just list here some from different sectors, and actually you've added lots that I could now put into our big mill of gathering more experience. Health programs, of course, river blindness eradication is sort of the grandfather of all successful scaled-up programs in the health area, in my view. HIV/AIDS is the new kid on the block. Microcredit, we've heard a lot about with Grameen and Brock, of course, the granddaddies of this innovation and the scaling up of it. Community development programs, there's some very good ones and actually some good analysis of what are the needs and how to go about scaling up community development programs. Conditional cash transfers, I recommend a book we published by Santiago Levy on Progresa Oportunidades, the first in a sense of conditional cash programs. Productive sector reform, sort of the classic one is the Green Revolution. Subnational government reform, trying to scale up reform at the municipal level, but not just in one small town or city, but actually across space. We just recently published what I think is a very good book by Clifford Zinnes who looks at how do you do that effectively. And finally, governance reform. My good friend Peter Eigen, who created Transparency International, thought about not just one place or one country, but he actually set up a system by which you now have Transparency International branches in many different countries, all sort of examples. What are we doing? In case any of you are interested in that, we'd be very happy to work with you. We've published a few things already on the topic, and I won't repeat it. Attached at the end of this is a brief list of references. In terms of ongoing research, we're now looking at scaling up in early child development, and I hope this will be relevant for next year's session. We'd be happy to work with you on this. Scaling up youth inclusion initiatives in the Middle East in particular. Scaling up urban development, just starting a new program with Rockefeller Foundation funding on urbanization. And we have two small but I think potentially useful initiatives, one with IFAD, the International Fund for Agricultural Development in Rome. We're working on an institutional scaling up review where we basically help IFAD look at what they do, because in their mission they actually have the scaling, one of the very few organizations that has scaling up in its mission statement. But they realize they've done too little to actually implement that, so we're working with them as a pilot for us, because we think it's relevant for others, institutions. Sort of how do you analyze yourself and how do you change from an institution that purely innovates to an institution that also scales up? And finally, we think, sort of building incentives, we believe that we actually need to develop replication funding mechanisms that reward and support replication rather than just innovation. So those are the areas we're working on. And here are some references. Thank you very much. Sure.